Kingdom life comes into play when we begin to value the thing that the kingdom holds most dear.
We have to learn how to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord, and that's the thing that changes history.
We are stewards of this moment in time. We're talking about the potential for cities to be turned.
How are you to bring the kingdom of God into your region, into your family?
When we begin to let ourselves bend to the values of the kingdom of heaven, then things around us begin to bend in response.
You're listening to Lead the Kingdom Radio.
Welcome to Lead the Kingdom, calibrating leaders to reign. My name is Clint Kaler, and I'm sitting here with Mitch Clay, as always, across the table, having incredibly intense conversations about the kingdom and how we can practically get this working in people's lives.
Oh, man, we have, we feel a little challenged by this, but the Lord has gone on before us. Scripture says that he knows the end from the beginning, so I just believe we need to catch up with what he's already doing.
Yeah, and I might just mention this scripture real quick that, you know, we know the scripture about the fivefold leadership gift or grace is to the body. But we always have to look back and see, what did God actually put that there for? What's he saying when he says that he gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists? Are these the guys that get to start ministry and get to live off of donations and travel the world in jets? No, this is actually the gift of the reason why these are a gift is because they're to equip you to do your own works of ministry. So you've got a person with an obvious grace on their life. For example, a pastor, man, that is supernatural the way they interact with people. That's so that grace can get off on you and make you more pastoral. The same way with prophet. You know, that grace is going to get off on people, and the prophetic is going to begin to be activating people's lives and so on. So we want a full, well-rounded, mature body that Jesus is building called his church. It is the dwelling place of God in the earth, the household of God made up of many members. So we really feel... Mitch, we've been having this conversation this year about hitting practically what it means to begin to walk some of these things out, some of these principles even that Jesus taught, but also in the other writers of the New Testament, Paul and Peter and likewise. How do we get people activated in kingdom principles? And, you know, we hear so many messages today about how to cope with a certain life situation. And, you know, those are helpful. We're not going to say anything more about that. But we have to keep our eye on the goal, the main goal of this. And we talk a lot about this goal being sonship, right?
Right. And then, you know, we had a great conversation. We should have actually rolled tape earlier, but... We talk about kingdom, we talk about sonship, and the truth is that the sonship is what makes us citizens of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And kingdom talks about the dominion of the king.
Yeah.
And of course, the head of the church is the Messiah, Christ, the king. And so all these things are interconnected, and they also are not just interconnected and isolated from the original intention of the Father, which is to bring heaven to the earth.
Uh-huh.
And so all of these are components, yes. You could study them as components, but they all need to be linked together. And there's some of this stuff that there's no way to separate it, and you just have to have all of it functioning together.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be times when the Lord emphasizes one thing over another thing, but that's just to build you up and get you strong and cause that revelation to come and that truth to come in that area of your life so you can develop in that so that you can continue on to the to the plan of God for your life. Yeah. So, I mean, there's many, many parts of all this. And I think more than anything, what we're doing in this conversation is stimulating people's thoughts, ideas, passions.
Yeah. And we were talking a little bit about even that when you mention a phrase or an idea or even a word, that people are going to view that through a certain lens. They're going to view that through their own experience, their tradition, their church culture they grew up in, you know, their grandfather who believed a certain way about everything. And so that's what the Word of God's for. The Word of God is to pierce in between that thing and reveal truth.
Yeah.
And I think that's a, just talking about sons, and we'll go to this vein about sons. I think that's a big key to sonship, because even, this is even, I can't pull the scripture right now, but it says that we must be hungry for truth. We have to be hungry for truth in order to find it. Truth can sometimes just fall on us, fall on our lap, or hear from a teacher. But as a son, if we're not seeking truth, if we're not hungry for truth, we're not going to be able to gain the advantage in the spirit as far as revelation light. So truth, revelation light coming to us and begin to live in us and then beginning to dominate our thought life, begin to dominate our heart, our attitudes, our action, our decisions in life, you know, like so many, for example, are dominated by a very poor end time theology. Okay. And we don't have to talk about it, go into that. That's kind of a rabbit hole that you can't find the bottom of with a lot of people. But if you believe, if you do not believe in a victorious ending, then you're not going to see the need to live victoriously. Right. And so things like this, you know, so talking sonship, we want to somehow, step into this conversation now. How do we activate people with revelation light on what being a son truly is? It's more than just like, I'm born again in the family of God. Hallelujah. I live a good life and so forth. There's much more to this, and maybe you can help us kick off this conversation. We'll spend the rest of time going back and forth here.
Yeah, there, you know, as I've grown in my understanding of this topic, the thing that sticks out in my mind and the focus of my attention when I hear that word son, you know, to be a son, is a few things. First of all, I believe that Jesus is the pattern son.
Absolutely.
He was the first son to walk on the earth, and I believe his life can be an example to all of us as sons. And when we say sons, of course, we mean daughters, mm-hmm. sons and daughters,
non-gender
children.
Specific.
Yeah, how we can live on the earth following the example of Jesus, the first son.
Right.
Okay. So one of the things that Jesus said was, "I didn't come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of the one who sent me."
Yes.
So we know that part of the design of the Lord is that the sons do the will of the Father.
Right.
We also know that the Father's invisible, and he chooses to be invisible. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the reason why he chose to be invisible, but I do know that he chose to reveal himself through his sons.
Yeah.
And so sons reveal manifest the will of the Father, and they don't do their own will. They do the will of the one who sent them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come to be served. They come to serve. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus said it so radically. He said it this way: "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father."
Yeah.
So the Son and the Father are one.
Yeah.
And you know that you could go a lot of directions from that place, but that's the crux of what in my heart. This is the core meanings of this. So it's in my heart.
Yeah. I was just thinking of a scripture out of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. So the Passion, I love the way it says this. He says, Paul says, "Once we carried the likeness of the man of dust, but now let us carry the likeness of the man of heaven."
Yeah.
And so we think of it like that. We are actually, he was the firstborn of a new race of heavenly people.
That's right.
And that one part heaven, one part earth, which was what Jesus was,
right,
is the picture of heaven coming to earth, the picture of heaven and earth becoming one.
Right.
And then we are also in this new race of heavenly people who being like Jesus. So this is more than just like, you know, we have to be like Jesus and get your WWJD bracelet out, you know. It's like forcing our will to bow to something. No, it's an inward transformation, first of all.
That's right.
And that life that we receive is the life that has defeated death. And so it begins its work in us. And people, I think this is important to mention, talking about, you know, people having thoughts one way when you're saying something else. When you say being like Jesus, a lot of people, I feel like, are like, oh no, we can never do that because they just put, obviously Jesus is the name above all names and we put his name there and glorify his name. But he didn't come just to show us what he could do, but to show us what he could do through us. He was our example. And getting people's minds over that hurdle is kind of a big deal because they want to be the worm. You know, they put on some false humility and feel like it's worship when in actuality, it's actually pride that refuses to submit to the likeness of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that I was thinking while you were talking there is that, you know, we've heard this, you need to be like Jesus. And so we think about pressing ourselves inside of some mold or, you know, don't do this and don't do that and those kind of things. But the truth is that the life of Christ is in us.
Yeah.
And so the Lord wants us to begin to live out that life. So in other words, he wants us to begin to manifest the nature of God that's inside of us.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that we've been given the divine nature of God.
Yeah.
And that is the testimony that we truly have been born again and that we truly are the children of the Most High God, because his divine nature has now entered into us. And I believe that the discipling of the Lord and the instruction of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is to bring us into an understanding and teaching us how to live in this new divine life.
That's it.
Not that we get forced inside of some mold, but that we begin to allow the character of Christ and the Spirit of Christ and the fruits of the Spirit to begin to come through our lives as we just walk in the earth, knowing that we are a son of God.
Right, right. I always like to put it this way, like the first step in becoming a son is doing what Jesus said. He said, if you want to follow me, and this is a son because he set the example. And not only are we following his example, but his life in us, as you said, is empowering us to live as Jesus lives. And he said, if you want to follow me, you must, Passion puts it this way, disown and reject your life, take up my cross and experience it as your own, and continually submit to my ways. And that is what we are calling our process of sonship. And it's so crucial because we see many people fail to begin to enter this process, or they enter it and then for whatever reason do not continue. But the faithfulness to this process in us is this. Well, I'll say the secret. If you want to say that, it's not really a secret, but maybe, you know, maybe it is. It is the secret to allowing this eternal life that is at work in us to continue to work in us until we become mature sons of God. And that is what he is after. He wants maturity. And we said this on the last show, immaturity is not an option in the kingdom.
Yeah, that's true. And see, that goes back to what you began with, Ephesians 4, that for the equipping of the saints for their work of ministry, their work of service, okay? So part of that equipping is not just in your particular gifting or your grace that God has given you, or your ability to function inside of that grace, but in the character, mm-hmm. in your life and your lifestyle as a son, where you have responsibility to God, you're accountable to the Father, and you're living now in the kingdom, in the household of God, functioning inside of the culture of the household of God and the kingdom of God in a way that is righteous, that is holy, that is acceptable to your new place of living. Yeah. See, we were delivered from the power of darkness. Mm-hmm. We came out of the kingdom of darkness, and we were translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So now we have to learn how to function inside of this new kingdom. We have new life inside of us. We're inside of a new kingdom, and the Bible, Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. So when we get life, we're not born as a full-grown man, fully functioning and mature. We receive life and we become an infant. And that doesn't mean that the potential to be a man isn't there, but we have to go through the process of maturity from infancy, immaturity, into a mature functioning son in the household of God.
Yeah. And I would think we see that in Jesus' life where he made disciples with those guys around him, and they went from, like, you know, we get to see the whole picture because they were like, you know, they look a little ridiculous at where they started compared to where they ended, but they were infants, and they couldn't comprehend things of the kingdom. They had no understanding, no insight, and the Lord just kept working with them, bringing kingdom principles, bringing encounters with him, until they started to partner with responsibility to become mature. And then there's another step beyond that, besides just personal maturity. You begin to understand that you have a responsibility to steward and advance, almost like Jesus has left us a job to do, maybe is a way to put it.
Yeah.
But he gave us a work, and we see these in a lot of the parables about the minas and the money and the managers. You know, how do we steward or manage this thing well? We don't hide it because we're afraid we're going to get punished if we don't do well. We invest this thing and with no reservation as mature sons so that it begins to expand. The expanse of that kingdom comes through us as mature sons. And I think that's where you and I are really wrapped up in, because we want to see this expanse of the kingdom. We want to see this domination of light begin to take over people's lives, cities, regions, institutions, governments. It's like yeast in a lump of dough, it says, and it just works through the whole thing. And so it's one thing to go, yes, I'm a son and I feel the love of God. It's another one to go, I am actually enlisted in this force, this mobile force of called the church, and I am actively partnering with heaven, laying my life down for the sake of his pleasure to advance his kingdom.
Yeah. See, I think some of the emphasis in what has been emphasized in the past is just to become a part of, you know, to be born again.
Yeah, go to heaven.
And go to heaven, that's right. But I think now the Lord is beginning to expand and challenge our thinking that there's way more to this than just receiving life where you don't go to hell.
Yeah.
And someday, in the sweet by and by, you get to go to heaven. You know, and that's a good thing. That's a great thing. But, it's so much more than that, because Jesus even said it this way, that you are going to rule and reign with Christ forever and ever and ever. I mean, imagine the responsibility, the joy, the excitement, the privilege of getting to rule with Christ.
Yeah.
And partner with the Father.
Exhilarating.
It's mind-blowing when you really think about it. And this has been God's desire from the beginning.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, 4, 5 tells us that. And to me, the more I learn about this, the more I understand about this, I mean, honestly, if I was God, I probably wouldn't pick me. just to be honest.
Yeah, everybody says that.
You know what I mean? But it's true, because I know me, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but to know that the Father would include me in this magnificent, majestic, amazing work. Mm-hmm. And I love it, because Jesus didn't like go in his office, shut the door and look out the window and watch what the disciples did, you know. He left the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, he left the whole thing to them, and he said, here you go, boys.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, we got a few minutes left here. I wonder, if you could just, so speaking practically now, share some of the highlights of your process in becoming a son, like things that were like turning points, like things that would really maybe help people understand how to partner with their process.
Yeah, one of the things that I learned after a while, I don't know, I don't keep track of dates too well, but one of the things I learned was that this is not a trial and error process. First of all, I learned there was a process. Second of all, I learned this wasn't just like, okay, you're just kind of walking down a hallway and you bump into a wall and like, oh, okay, that must not be the way, and you make an adjustment and then you bump into another wall. But as I learned, somehow the Lord revealed to me that I could cooperate with the process and I could actually speed the process along.
Yeah.
And so then I began to seek the Lord as to, okay, where are we going and what's this all about? And I think this has to do with your understanding of your calling, your purpose, and those kind of things, because then you begin to concentrate and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in that. And so those were the things. As I began to have that vision and that focus towards that goal of my calling, first of all, it was my calling, then the Lord began to bring deliverance. I remember one time I was praying in some, specific times of prayer and stuff, and the Lord just began to show me some areas of deliverance. There were some areas of fear, some things that had happened in my heart, and He said, "It's the day now that we're going to address these things." And so, I understood that those liberations, those freedoms, were to allow me to more fully walk out my purpose in life. And so I understood that, and I cooperated with the Holy Spirit, and He began to walk me step by step by step.
Yeah. Was there a point where you began to realize, was there a point where you felt really insecure about stepping out into taking ownership of your process? Or like, you know, it's kind of like, I'll use this example. So Jesus, when He sent out the 12, He said, go into these towns, don't take anything with you. As you go, say the kingdom is at hand, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. He said, I know you feel vulnerable, like I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, or sheep to the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a point in your life where you felt like that, but you decided to step through it anyway on the other side? Was, you know, I think that's a wall a lot of people struggle with, even for years.
Yeah, for me,
like, how did you get through it?
That came from a point in my life where it's too big a story, but the point in my life where I went into a season of prayer where I said to God, if it's the last thing I do on the face of this earth, I'm going to find out what is my calling, what is my purpose, why do I exist on planet Earth? What is your plan for my life?
Wow.
And
wow.
I had ideas about that, but I said, I will not stop until I know what that is beyond a shadow of a doubt. And it was and I'll tell you how it began. I went into this place of prayer and I began to pray and seek the Lord in a quiet, secret place. And the first week, I didn't hear anything. Second week, I didn't hear anything, but I kept going.
Yeah.
Third week, I didn't hear anything till about the last day. And then the Lord said, do you want me to show you your heart? And I was just glad He was talking.
Yeah. It's a yes no matter what you say at this point.
Yeah. And, you know, Jehovah sneaky kind of set me up, you know. And so anyway, I said, yeah, show me my heart, you know. And I saw this heart of stone. And I was so surprised. And I said, Lord, how did that happen? And I'll never forget this. He said, ever so slowly. He said, this little dust and that little dust and that little dust. And conviction came and you didn't respond correctly. And that settled and that settled and that settled. And I wept and I wept and I wept and I wept and I wept. And I said, Lord. And He said, now we're going to walk I'm going to walk you through this, and we're going to get this all. And it was literally a 9-month process.
Yeah.
Where He took me. There would be times of repentance where I would weep and weep and weep. Then there would be refreshing. Then he would show me the next thing, and we would I would go through that, da-da-da-da. And literally, this was all private. It was all a very personal process. But at the end of that, I came out, and I told the Lord, I said, I will do whatever you tell me to do.
There you go.
I will go wherever you tell me to go.
Yeah.
And the Lord took me serious.
Yeah. You know, I think people soft pedal that experience or that circumcision of heart because they feel like, I don't know why I don't do this, but I feel like they would feel like we can't ask that much of people or whatever. But Jesus had no problem talking to his disciples like that. In fact, like the scripture I mentioned, if you want to follow me, then he lists all the severe things. In fact, going back to the sheep among wolves passage, he said, they're going to beat you. They might even kill you. Okay, this is Jesus's method of creating disciples. Go, and by the way, you might die.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There is a severe way, and Jesus tries, he even illustrates it further by saying it's a narrow gate, broad is the way to destruction, narrow is the path to life.
Yeah.
And so it does take this kind of severity at times, dealing with our own hearts, dealing with our own life, deciding that we're going to turn our back to everything and put our face to the wall, if you know that illustration, and seek the Lord until he comes. And I think that's a thing. Another thing that we don't talk about enough as leaders, as a part of our process, is about how to seek the Lord. How do we begin? Jeremiah says, if you'll seek me and seek me with all your heart,
yeah,
you will find me.
That's right.
And so we don't see that's kind of a rare thing in a lot of people's lives, but it is a promise. And I think he does it on purpose because you have to pass through this thing and you have to want it to pass through it. And that's how he finds the gold in your life. And it's a circumcision thing and it's a trial thing and it's a crucifixion thing,
absolutely.
Quite honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think let's just wrap it up here with a couple final thoughts about how practical it is or it needs to be in our own life. And I love your example, your story, because it reveals, it takes us behind the veil of even your own life and heart and says, this is actually what I had to go through in order to touch him, in order for him to show up, touch me, because we feel so, you know, in America, we feel like, oh, it's I said yes, and I went to the altar, and I'm born again, so I should inherit everything. Mm. But the process is, following. It's not just we don't get it all in one lump sum. It may be in our account, but not in our possession. And how to get things in our possession is the secret, I would say, the key to following Jesus and entering this process. So any final thoughts about like how like I'm at home listening to this or in the car driving, I'm like, God, okay, I want it to take hold of you. Or like Paul said, I want to take hold of the thing that you took hold of me for.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Well, I want to give you some hope. The first thing that came to my heart when you said that is the promise. The Father said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to
you. Yes.
And I don't know how many times that I've said that to the Lord, because there's times that I don't know how to draw near. I mean, I don't know the actual thing that I need to do, but I tell him, I want to be closer to you. I want to be closer to your heart. And I say to the Lord, you said in your word, if I draw near to you, you would draw near to
me.
And so, and I begin to just turn my face, to turn my heart, turn my mind to the Lord. I know in my mind, I have a picture. He's coming to me. And I know that if I continue in that, he's going to meet me. Because the truth is, Clint, the truth is the Father wants us mature.
Yes.
The Father's not resisting us.
No. Nope.
The Father wants to help us.
Yeah.
And so Tommy Tenney years ago used to talk about hide and seek. And sometimes God hides.
Oh, yes.
But he doesn't hide so he just to hide. He hides so we'll seek
right
after him.
Right.
And I know that when we run after the Lord, he'll reveal himself in a big way. So I want to give people hope. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not in the place where you want to be, or maybe you've had great victories, you've had great breakthroughs, you've touched the Lord, you've had encounters with the Lord, but you're kind of in a lull right now. You're kind of in a quiet place. I want to tell you, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And I just want to encourage you, turn your face towards him. Begin to spend extra time in prayer. Begin to spend extra time in the Word and just begin to say, here I am, Lord. Make yourself available.
Yeah.
And he'll come and meet with you.
Yeah. Referencing back to that scripture in Jeremiah 29, we have to begin to find out what it means for each one of us to seek him with all of our heart.
Yeah.
And that's a real easy thing to kind of take and hold as we kind of close here, that, you know, no matter what anybody else is doing, what they're doing is not going to work for you.
Right.
You have to figure it out for yourself.
That's and personal. That's,
and when it gets personal like that and you start to own it, you're starting to own your process. And I would say that's the biggest key that was for me when I began to own my own process and stop looking to other people mm-hmm. to open a door or to give me an opportunity
yeah.
or to, you know, stand alongside and do something. I had to begin to take real ownership of my own process and to begin to find out what it means to seek him with all of my heart.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Well, Father, we pray for yes. everyone listening in Jesus' name, that the wealth that has been shared between us to the listener would begin to create a well of knowledge in them
yes.
that they can draw life out of,
yes,
that you
Lord.
Begin to speak out of these principles and these things that we've conveyed
yes,
and
Lord.
Let the Spirit of God bring revelation light right now in
yeah.
Jesus'
yeah.
name. And we speak to your heart and
yes.
we say, be opened. In
yes.
Jesus' name, be
yes.
opened and stir in Jesus' name and let a thirst and a hunger come alive in you for everything that the Lord is inviting you to do. The Bible does declare that the depth of our yearning is the measure to which we are filled. So let
wow.
a yearning go forth in everyone listening in Jesus' name.
Wow. Amen.
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 Well, thanks for listening. And if you want to find out more about Lead the Kingdom, talking about sonship and this conversation of fathers and sons, go over to leadthekingdom.com. Hey friends, thanks for listening. Plug into our network at leadthekingdom.com. Over there, you'll find resources to equip and empower your leadership potential. Also, get registered to receive emails on upcoming events, online leadership sessions, and more. You are valuable, and you were born to change the world.